From the Rams studio, connected by AT&T, this is Between the Horns. I'm Miles Simmons. I'm with D-Far, who's trying to heckle me. We got a third chair on the show today.
Yay.
It's Danny Kleppinger. What's up, Danny?
Thanks so much for letting me hang out with you guys. I was a little jealous of all the fun that was going on in here. I had to sneak in.
Who's having fun?
Y'all two have so much fun.
No, you have fun. I don't have much fun.
That's true.
Because DeMarco likes to heckle me. So like maybe you can push that to the other side of the table
today. Well, who admits they're a Cleveland fan?
What?
See?
Jeez.
Who admits they're a Cleveland
We're
fan?
We're like,
No one admits that.
Here's the thing. What I usually do is I will like put a stopwatch on my phone right here so that I know where we're going. I hadn't even got to that point yet, and you brought up Cleveland.
Of course. You're talking about heckling. You're used to it.
Well, yeah, from you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. As we get into it, you know, if you've been checking out anything we've been doing on therams.com, You know that we're deep into this coaching search right now, so we're gonna spend a little time talking
Love it,
about
but
that.
Hate it.
Yeah,
yeah. I hate the fact that you're here as a football team that you're searching for a head coach, but love the fact that the future is bright. I guess.
Yeah.
Endless possibilities.
There are a lot of possibilities.
It's kind of crazy. Sorry to cut you off, but it's a little weird just to think how much was going on last offseason for us with the move,
it's
and then
funny,
you would think that this offseason was the time to kind of chill and get settled in, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not that
way
at all.
No. Can you imagine being a rookie?
No.
Yeah. You've got everything, like 20 years of the NFL all in 1 year. You moved, your coach got fired, you're about to hire a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been pretty crazy. You know, it's funny, Danny, you bring that up. You know, we were in here earlier, and I was just thinking about, like, man, a year ago, you know, in our studio, you know, as we're getting ready to get out for a week or whatever, you know, and we're doing these season recaps. We didn't have a desk. You know, we
didn't have
totally different studio.
Totally,
you know,
wasn't soundproof or anything like that.
And so now, you know, look where we are a year later. It's pretty crazy, all the things that have come up. But let's get into this coaching search a little bit. Obviously, a lot of names have been out there, and we talked with JB Long, and I talked to Kevin Dimoff earlier this week. I'm assuming that you guys have heard that, so let's get into that a little bit. What were some of your takeaways from what Dimoff has said early on in this search?
I guess it was encouraging that there aren't really any parameters. No stone unturned.
Yeah, that's my impression.
Yeah, that he's going to look high and low for the right coach. And I think even early on in the process, we talked about names not mattering. When a lot of talk was about, you know, Brian Billick or Bill Cowher or John Gruden. Names.
Hold.
When household names.
When did you hear Brian Billick?
I mean, from day one. I mean, people.
Brian Billick?
I haven't heard that.
You haven't heard the Brian Billick? Oh, that was like immediate.
I did not hear Brian Billick.
I'm
not trying to disrespect Brian Billick.
Yeah, because he could
really
be the head coach.
I'm not saying that he's not being evaluated at this point,
I don't know.
Just not a name that I've heard.
Well, any person with head coaching experience has had some success. Their name has come up.
Yeah,
they always come up with
that's
coaching vacancies.
Yes,
so we were talking about names. Does this football team need a name? And he shot that down quickly and said, we're going for the best coach available for this situation.
Right.
So I thought that was great.
That's the part that stood out to me the most. Because thinking about it, I remember coming to L.A. when we first made the move. Everything seemed to have some sort of appeal to it. Oh, we're trading for the number one draft pick overall because we're in L.A.
Yeah.
Because that's a Hollywood story.
Oh, God, yeah.
So same idea. Do you bring a guy with that Hollywood type name? And it's interesting because then I started to think about how reportedly Kevin Dimoff met with Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
He's 30 years old. Is he the splash? Is he the Hollywood story? Is he something that could fit with that? So it was interesting to me because at the time when you talked to Kevin Dimoff, it wasn't Thursday because he reportedly met with him on Thursday.
Yeah.
So when I heard that comment, I was like, wow, so maybe a splash like a big name or somewhere on the complete opposite side of the spectrum in that in McVay, maybe that's not what he's looking for. Maybe those are all smoke screens.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah. Who's the oldest guy on the football team now?
The oldest guy.
It's got to be either Will Hayes or Robert Quinn.
Yeah, I think it might be
Quinn.
Will Hayes is at least 30. He's on the other side.
Hayes
of 30. I think
is,
he's going to be 31.
Okay, I was just thinking. You're bringing a coach that's 30 years old.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stay here
I guess
second.
On this team you'd be a graybeard, with the exception of a few guys.
Well, but that's the thing. I mean,
Will Hayes is the oldest.
He is the oldest.
He's 31. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's the thing. Okay, if you've got a 30-year-old trying to command the room, no matter how good he is at the X's and O's, is he a little young? D?
Well, young, yes, but that's we're both D. Which one? Woo! Yeah, DeMarco. Yeah, yeah. I'll be D Far.
Yeah, got okay.
it. She'll be D.
Yeah,
how D about club. That?
D. I usually, you know, usually this is not a problem because I can sit in this chair and I can say D, and like when we're on video, like right. Danny knows who I'm talking about, and then when we're on this, usually it's just
I'm just going off eye contact. Right
now.
I know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
When you throw D, I just go off eye contact.
I won't make that mistake again. So we're gonna get back into this. If this thing just cut out, sorry about that. We had a couple technical difficulties. My producer extraordinaire Josh has solved them, so we are now back where we need to be nice. Here on Between the Horns. So. We'll get back into what we were talking about, which to be...
What were we talking about?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about head coaching candidates.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Brian Billick came up.
Yeah, yeah Brian okay. Billick came up. We were talking about Sean McVay. We were talking about coaching ages. And I think the overarching point that we're sort of trying to get at here is what makes a head coach effective.
Yeah. Look, it's just your message. You know, where have you been? What are your experiences? Who have you coached? Who have you helped become better? Who did you learn from? Can you teach what you know? This is the thing that comes up when you start talking about anybody from the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Oh, yes.
The New England coaching tree. Go back to Romeo Crennel, and Charlie Weiss.
Again with the Browns.
I'm just saying, like, guys that come from that system, they turn out to be what as head coaches?
Eh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you can function in that environment very well. You can function with a CEO like Bill Belichick and be effective and win a lot of games. Can you remove yourself from that situation and still be effective?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to know in those meetings when I bring somebody like that over from New England into my meeting room. Kyle Shanahan, I think he's the first round pick of all the coaches out there because he's been groomed to do this. You know he knows football.
Mm-hmm.
Ins and outs.
Yes.
You know he can put together a staff. Like that,
probably.
With one phone call, probably to his father or by himself. Those things are very attractive to a football team without a head coach.
Sure, yeah.
And I mean, I think picking up on that, Shanahan obviously has been reportedly meeting with all teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not surprising, just looking at what he did with Atlanta's offense this year. And looking at the Rams' offense, obviously we need somebody to come in and shake that up. Now, Kevin Demoff said it doesn't necessarily have to be an offensive-minded head coach. However, you, at least with Shanahan, can see what he did with a quarterback. You saw what happened when Julio Jones went down. He was still able to find ways to make that offense run.
Yeah.
So I think when you think about what the Rams do have right now on their personnel, you need somebody that can be able to figure it out.
Yeah. Outside of the jerseys I see in this room, I see 99, 30, and 11, right?
Yes.
The most important guy in this room or in this football team is Jared Goff right now,
Absolutely.
Your quarterback. So you might not be looking for one guy on one side of the ball or the other, but I would say that's your biggest investment.
It is your biggest
investment. You've got to make that quarterback function.
Yes.
In order for this team to function.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, people talk about, oh my God, the Rams don't have any draft picks. Man, like they do have draft picks this year.
So we've got into rounder, this right? with.
Yeah. Yes. You and they expect to get the compensation pick in the third round. That one would go to Tennessee. Right, great. Mm-hmm. So then Demoff actually said the other day that they are also expecting that they could get a fourth-round compensation pick. So that means you would have a full slate of draft picks to go with. You would not have the number one pick in the first round, right, obviously. And that's fine, because if Jared Goff does turn out to be your franchise quarterback, I think that we can all say two first-rounders in basically punting one draft would probably be worth that, right?
It would be nice to be talking about that now.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that's a long way
Perfect
off.
Story. It's, you know what? We realize it's not a Hollywood,
no.
Hollywood story here. We don't have a fairy tale ending right now.
But if I'm one of those coaching candidates, the fact that you don't have a first rounder in 2017 wouldn't scare me away from this job.
Why not?
Because you already have your quarterback. You drafted that guy. There's talent here. There's young talent here. There's a lot to work with.
Yeah.
So the fact that your draft is a little stunted wouldn't scare me away at all.
Okay. What about you, Danny?
I was more actually going to ask you a question on that. Do you think at that point when the coaches come in here and they're looking at the quarterbacks and looking at who they have to work with, do you think they go back and think about what Jared Goff looked like to them throughout the draft process? And do you think that in watching him now, if they didn't think that he should have been drafted where he was, that maybe that would shy them away from taking this job?
Well, I'll say this. Four head coaches in a 7-year career with the Rams. And the difference between coaches is minute. They all say the same sort of rah-rah. But they always look at the best of you when they see you on tape, when they meet you for the first time. They can always tell you about the best plays you made watching you on film. So there's a lot to like about Jared Goff. I mean, we can talk about his toughness until we're blue in the face.
This is true.
We can talk about his arm strength until we're blue in the face. But all his failures, I guarantee you, will be blamed on the coordinator that just left. Everything that went wrong with the offense, the reason Todd Gurley didn't get off, was held to less than 1,000 yards.
Less than 900 yards. It was a really poor year.
We'll all be blamed on the staff prior to this one coming in.
Correct.
So they
I guess even the reason of not being able to tell you right now if Goff is the number one, like, can live up to the hype or can't live up to the hype, all of that's going to be blamed on the last staff,
really
too,
right? Really fair point,
Danny, yeah. It will be. I mean, so, look, Jared Goff was well-liked by a lot of clubs, a lot of people in the NFL.
Yes.
Being drafted that high didn't shock anyone in the NFL. So there are going to be coaches that are excited to work with him. Remember how excited Jeff Fisher was to work with Sam Bradford way back when?
Yeah.
The same thing will happen with your new head coach.
Right. You know, you touched on something. You know, you said all head coaches kind of are the same. The differences are minute. And so a lot of the time, this time of year, people talk about head coaches being really good motivators and, you know, you need them to get the most out of your players. Is that just a cliche? I mean, is it a cliche? It's probably a cliche for a reason. But I just go back to thinking about things and how do we misuse that kind of phrase, do you guys think?
Misuse? What do you mean?
I mean, just, you know, oh, we need this good motivator. He's got to get the most out of his guys. I think there's something maybe a little bit too cliche about that aspect of
it. Depends on it. Don't you think? I don't want to cut you off, but it's like you don't want to handhold people.
Like this is the pros, man.
You've gotten to this point where this is your job. This is what you're making money to do. I remember at one point during training camp when Coach Fisher called out Brian Quick for dropping too many passes. It's like he pays him to catch the ball. It's the same sort of scenario here. You're getting paid to win football games.
Right.
You can't be handheld through the season.
No, this is your job, man. I mean, motivators, great for college, necessary in high school. And Pop Warner. This is different to where you're being paid to do a job, and if you can't do it, then they'll find someone else to do it. But I think the biggest thing that's needed in the National Football League is discipline. Whatever your rules are, you're going to have to stand on them no matter who breaks those rules.
Yeah.
All pro or undrafted rookie free agent. Yeah. Everyone is treated the same until you have success, and then your core group starts to grow, and then you grow as a head coach.
But speaking to that, that's where you get respect as a coach.
Big time.
Because if you actually hold up the same amount of standards from the 53rd man on the roster or even the practice squad member to your all-star, your pro bowler, if you hold that same amount of integrity to them, then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, wow. I need to respect that guy. Yeah. I have to follow his rules because he's punishing Aaron Donald the same way he's punishing Paul McRoberts.
I heard a funny story about a coach way back when I was playing. Don't make a joke. Way back when.
Way back when.
Way back when.
she did it too.
Stop it. They were hazing rookies by cutting their hair, right? And it hit the media and it became a story, a small story, regional story. And so he had to answer questions about it at training camp. And he answered like, okay, the next guy that cuts a rookie's hair is going to be gone. Right. So he was quickly challenged by somebody in the media and said, well, what if it's your all-star, your all-pro running back? Well, I'll ask him nicely to stop. See what I mean?
So you have the double standard.
Right. A little bit. But he'd already been to the playoffs, been to the Super Bowl. It was a different deal then.
Yeah.
But when you first come in, your rules are your rules and everybody must follow them. And I can guarantee you, look, the rookies, Jared Goff and the like, having your head coach be fired this early is actually a blessing because you're too young to know. But some of the veteran guys are going to be worried about who's coming in. Is my job going to change?
And then shouldn't they be worried, though?
If you're lucky enough to remain on the team with this new head coach, I guarantee you there'll be clashes from the way we used to do it, from the way you're doing it now.
Yeah.
So it takes a while to rid yourself of the old. Even more than a year, more than 2 years, to rid yourself of the old mindset.
Well, some of the things that, you know, you hear from the players during some of these, the last few interviews you do with them, you know, in the locker room. I know, Danny, you heard this stuff too. Mm-hmm. Players talking about accountability and culture, I should say. Changing the kind of culture. You know, you want to be a winning franchise. Well, how do we get there? You got to somehow change the culture. And this goes back to, I think, one of the things you and I, DeMarco, talked about a long time ago on a podcast. And you said, one of the ways that they changed the culture basically in 99 was just by winning, right? And so it's kind of
and the fact that Marshall Faulk was a running back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, right.
That's a culture changer.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's a culture changer.
Orlando Pace was left tackle. It's a culture changer. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
No, but it's talent. Yeah, but yeah. Then the talent produces the winning. So how do you change the culture? Well, you just got to go do it. Go.
But I'm saying to that point, the players have to understand that they're not always going to like it. And I think that for a matter of fact, they might hate next year. Whether they're winning or not, there might be times where they hate it, because just changing a culture when you are so stuck in a certain way, that's hard as a player.
Absolutely. Oh my
God. And so you might be miserable, but you might be winning. Yeah. So then you can't complain too much.
Or you might be miserable and you might be still losing, but you're building towards winning. That first year with Vermeil, man, was a beast.
Yeah.
But I knew the core guys, the guys that made it through year one all the way to the Super Bowl, you knew what he was doing year one.
Yeah.
We had to make it through, but he's running people off right in front of your eyes. He's changing the culture in front of you.
He's running off the people that shouldn't be there.
Yes. And that's something Jared Goff brought up after the game in week 17. He said, you know, some guys probably aren't going to be here and they may not need to be. You know, he said, he didn't actually put it in that way. It sort of sounds rude as it like comes out of my mouth, but what he was talking about, it he was referring back to his time at Cal, and he, you know, how he went through the 1-10, 1-11 season in his freshman year, and he's saying that after that year, you know, you got rid of some of the guys that maybe needed to go, and you kept building and building and building, and then by the time he got to his junior season, things kind of tipped. They went to a bowl game, and that's the first bowl game that they've been to since I think 2008. So I think he sees the parallels of, you know, starting out his rookie season in a way that everybody would probably like to forget. And the same thing that happened in sort of his freshman year back at Cal. And now it's about building and building this championship culture that everybody wants for the Los Angeles Rams.
You've watched this offense this season and years before.
Let's just take the last three years.
The Jared Goff era. And when they go off the field on a 3-and-out, do you feel physical pain?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Jared Goff does.
Okay. Yeah. What are you getting at?
He feels it while the defense is still going.
While
we're
pulling our hair out, he's pulling dirt out of his face mask because he's been nailed. He's been, the receiver ran the wrong route, blah, 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 blah. The offense just isn't moving.
He got sacked 7 times against San Francisco, which was an embarrassment.
He's paying the price for all the mistakes on offense.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. So maybe some of those guys who aren't fully committed needs to be the first out the door.
Right. And I think that that's the point he's getting at. So let's get back into some of these coaching candidates. I mean, we briefly talked about Kyle Shanahan. I kind of want to get in a little bit more in depth on him because he is such a hot name right now. You know, everybody talks about what he's done with Atlanta, and, you know, they've been the number one scoring offense this year by 4.5 points per game. That's, like, huge. But to me, it's what he's been able to do in places where there hasn't been as much success. And I'm thinking specifically about Cleveland. In the 2014 season with Cleveland, you know, he had Brian Hoyer lead the league with 13.7 yards per completion. Right? They were in really good position, in fact, to sort of make a playoff push. They were 7-4 at one point. Then they lost their last 5 games in that span. Like, Brian Hoyer kind of got off the rails, and then, like, the edicts probably came down from up above for them to play Johnny Manziel, and that was an absolute disaster. And so I think why Shanahan then left was because he's like, I need to get out of this. And then he goes to Atlanta, and he's been widely, widely, widely successful. So I think what he has done is proven that he can do it not just with one quarterback, not just with one team. He's been all around, and he's done a really good job.
I would hope that he wants to coach here. Because, like I said, I think he's on everyone's list. Didn't you just say that? He's interviewing everywhere, so he's going to have his choice of teams to go to.
Yeah.
So it all depends on how he feels about living in Southern California and how he feels about Jared Goff. But I'm with you, man. If you go back and watch, you know, some of the places he's been where he put his imprint on the offense, and you look at Atlanta now, you can superimpose those jerseys onto Atlanta's offense and say the quarterback is functioning the same.
Right.
You can see his imprint on every single quarterback. Now, Matt Ryan, I wouldn't say he's a finished product, but it's a great lump of clay to have. He's a
Matt
tremendous
Ryan. It's been Ryan. 9 years.
He's a tremendous quarterback to have.
What do you mean? And so he's
had an amazing season.
He's not a finished product.
Well, he's still not a finished product.
How can you not be a finished product
until
when
you're done?
Years?
Is that what you're saying?
No,
until you call it a day.
Until you're holding the Lombardi Trophy.
Oh,
that's what
okay.
I'm saying.
I thought
until,
you meant like
until
as a,
you deliver
like,
on
you
promise,
okay.
You're not a finished product.
There's, sorry, I can keep going.
There's still a ways
off.
To go with Matt Ryan, but yeah. I mean, you think you can't improve upon guys like him? Well, look at Matt Ryan's season this year.
Right, yeah.
You've upped the bar. He's gotten better. Now he's going to have to get through the postseason hurdle, mm-hmm. something that's been tripping him up since he came into the National Football League.
True.
But when you watch him play, especially up close when he was here in the Coliseum,
yeah, that was,
you can't tell me that guy didn't get better.
That was domination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can do that with anybody in Cleveland and you can do that with Matt Ryan, then I want you to meet Jared Goff immediately.
Yeah.
Well, talking about Shanahan to the Rams, like you have said that you like that option. Well, does he leave without his dad? Or does that, you know, with less needs still being employed by the Rams, does that come into play at all?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But like I said, I have, if it were me, I would love to coach in Hollywood.
Yeah,
I would. If you get this right here, if you get this franchise from where it is now into the postseason, just the postseason, mm-hmm. you can write your own ticket.
It's true.
You'd be the guy. And the fact that the NFC West with Seattle, and if you want to count Arizona, I'll never count them out with Bruce Arians, the NFC West is stocked and built. That wouldn't scare me. I want to compete at the highest level. I wouldn't want to go to the AFC South and try to win a down division.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'd like to compete here. I want to win everything the toughest way possible.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah. So here's another guy that whose name has come up a lot, Josh McDaniels. And Danny and I weren't here, you know, with the Rams, I should say, in 2011 when McDaniels was the OC.
Mm-hmm.
What are your sort of lasting impressions from being around him up close that year?
He's short. No, I'm just kidding. He's very about his football. I love that about him. We were coming in off the lockout. So
yeah,
everything
was
truncated.
Man, that was a tough year.
And it was an odd hire. I love the fact that it's Josh McDaniels and that he's got that Patriot mindset. And he mm-hmm. worked with Tom Brady. Same thing we're saying with Kyle Shanahan.
Uh-huh.
The problem was you're bringing in probably the most complicated offense to run in a shortened offseason.
Right.
That didn't make very much sense at all.
And I've heard that before.
Yeah.
That it was hard because on, you know, quarterback back then was Bradford, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was hard on him because you had the truncated offseason and you're going, that was the second year in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was when Pat Shurmur got hired in Cleveland. So you're going for a rookie to his second year, you get the shortened offseason, he doesn't have the playbook, and it just makes it a lot harder.
And it wasn't just him. I mean, Bradford picked up the playbook. It's everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just hard to get that going, and it just did not work. And you actually had a chance, I believe. No, it was a year before. You actually had a chance a year before for the postseason going up to Seattle, and you lost to Charlie Whitehurst.
Yes.
So
yeah, I remember that.
Going into the next offseason with McDaniel as your coordinator, this was supposed to be the beginning of the Sam Bradford era, and it just went backwards in a hurry.
Yeah.
So maybe he learned from that experience. Maybe he learned from that experience of being a head coach in Denver. The second time around, he would do things a little bit differently here,
mm-hmm.
and you wouldn't have the lockout to worry about. So,
true.
But that playbook and how he coaches, love that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that about him. Just that little taste that we had, I don't think was the full Josh McDaniels playbook there.
Well, here's what I know. Before you begin, Danny, I want to let the people know, since everybody knows I'm a Browns fan, Danny's been a Patriots fan for a really long time. So Danny knows Josh McDaniels well, too.
Sort of was going to bounce off of that with this.
Yeah.
Because he's learning or assisting under Bill Belichick.
Right.
At
yeah.
some point, does that come into play when you're looking at him and sitting across the table and maybe thinking about what Josh McDaniels was like prior to working with Belichick? Like, how much does a guy learn from a head coach in those situations, and how helpful do you think that could be?
You know, that's the question. I mean,
do you
go
know
back,
how much,
right.
like, do they talk right. all the time? Or is it one of those things where McDaniels is kind of taking the reins and then Belichick sort of oversees it? Do you know their relationship?
Or beyond that, how much credit do you give Tom Brady?
Right.
For Josh McDaniels' success?
I think you got to give him a lot of credit, right? I mean, you know, it's the, so Josh McDaniels, he started out as a personnel assistant, right? 2001. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then 2006, he takes over as OC. He'd been the quarterback's coach a couple years before. Then Tom Brady has like the best year ever And the Patriots have the best year ever in 07, except they lose to the Giants in Super Bowl, whatever, X, whatever that was. Yeah, I was really sad, too. And we'll sidebar.
Is that when David Tyree saved the world?
No, he did not save the world. Listen, okay. Here's the deal. I was not a Patriots fan, but I appreciate greatness. I wanted to tell
him. We've had this discussion multiple times. He does appreciate the Patriots.
I do.
We've talked about it.
I wanted to see the Patriots go undefeated. I'm sorry. Like, I know. I'm good. Like,
you just hate the 72 Dolphins.
No.
You wanted them to go away.
See, yeah, Rams fans are going to hate us after this.
I know. They really are. They're going to come after both of us. It's going to be pretty bad. Sorry I kind of outed you, Daniel.
It's all good.
But the thing about McDaniels, though, is that even in 08, right? So Brady gets hurt, you know, on what? That first drive against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, you know, ACL's gone. And then Matt Castle comes in. They still go 11-5. And they miss the playoffs. But I think that does speak to something about McDaniel's ability to run an offense. And obviously, you know, you still have the Patriot way there. So there's something about expecting greatness and da-da-da-da. Things didn't work out for him in Denver.
Right. It's almost whatever he does in New England – the first two names that come up are going to be Belichick, then Brady.
Yeah.
So you almost have to judge him on what he did away from there.
I would agree with that.
So you've only got St. Louis for the year and Denver.
Yeah.
But I think he's changed as a coach since then. So, yeah. I mean, look, he's still a hot candidate out there, and I'd love to interview him. But same thing with Matt Patricia on the other side.
Just going to ask you about him.
I mean, great year. I mean, do you ever talk about New England's defense?
People don't talk about it enough. And that's another thing. Yeah. They're like 2.5 points better than the Giants in terms of scoring defense. Patriots finished number one, only allowed 15.6 points per game.
250 points all year.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It is.
You should be talking about that first and then Brady.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous production on one side of the ball.
And so, the thing I love about Matt Patricia is, like, he could have been a rocket scientist. Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yeah. Like, he went to some tiny, tiny school and was trying to be, exactly like you said, a rocket scientist. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, I'm going to latch on and learn the coaching thing. Yeah. I mean, he's probably brilliant. I would love to sit down and interview him and just talk about life. I'm curious to know how smart he is.
If you had a job as a rocket scientist, or you could be a head coach in the National Football League, would you choose?
Do rocket scientists go to the moon? Because that...
No. Rocket scientists do not go to the moon.
They probably send people to the moon.
Right.
I'm not leaving this planet.
Thank you.
Are you going into space?
Heck yeah.
You would go into space?
I think the aliens and I would be friends.
What?
Wow.
First of all, we don't know if they're aliens. All right, no, we're going to get into this now. I want to get into this.
Hey, gosh.
Look, you would go, like, to the moon if you had the opportunity to go to the moon?
Absolutely. 100%. Like, what? I remember them talking about how eventually they would get it so people could, like, take their vacation.
Yeah, there. Like SpaceX. Elon Musk, he's working on that.
What did you say?
What? SpaceX.
SpaceX. Say that slower next time. Yeah. SpaceX. Okay.
Josh, bleep that.
Everybody pause. Yeah, go ahead.
SpaceX. This is the guy who makes the Teslas.
I got you. Okay.
I would go on a family vacation up to the moon.
So you would not do this.
There's no way in hell. Yeah. No way.
I'm not leaving this planet.
No.
Haven't you seen, like, the space movies?
Yeah, but haven't you seen people get eaten by sharks? Do you go in the ocean?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, if somebody says shark, I'm, like, Jaws is a great movie. But, like, if somebody starts saying shark, I'm getting the hell out.
Can you swim home from the moon? Okay, thank
right.
you.
No, thank you.
If I get caught in the ocean, I may be able to survive, right?
Right.
Up there, no way.
No.
Yeah.
Something bad happens and you're done.
But think about it. You know how they're, like, the bouncing and the twirling and all that. It'd be fun once you got up there.
Hey, you can do zero gravity stuff here. That's why
NASA's trampoline place right up the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go bounce in
there.
Yeah,
we can do that. That'd be fun. All right, no, we can get back into the coaching search now. I thought that was a fun tangent. So you and I were texting DeMarco earlier this week, and we kind of got on something that I think is a good topic.
I'm a Rams fan, by the way.
So am I.
Just saying.
Yeah, we're all
I'm a Rams fan. What about these two? Go ahead. Anyway.
Why are you saying, like, obvious, like, we don't want the Rams to be successful?
I didn't say that. You just said that.
No, I didn't. Man,
I just said I'm a Rams fan. Just, you know, since we're...
You know what? You and I are on the sidelines together every single game. Every single
Miles
game.
Is up
how
in
much
a cushy
do I,
press box.
How often a game do I grum and squeeze your arm?
At least 4 or 5 times. Yeah.
Okay.
Big situations.
So you're going to call me not a Rams fan.
No, you're a Rams fan. I just said I'm a Rams fan. I didn't say you weren't.
Yes, you did.
You said she's a Patriot fan. You said that.
I said she grew up. Yeah, I did. I outed her as growing up as being a Patriots
you
fan.
You said Patriot fan. That's what you said. Anyway, move on. What's your question?
Yeah. Go ahead. I was trying to move into this nice topic.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Where, you know, you have more of under the radar kind of candidates. And one of these names that came up was Steve Wilks. And I texted you about him asking what you knew about him because he had been a coach at Washington.
We shook hands once. I went up. I was working for Fox Sports Midwest or whatever. Fox Sports News, whatever it was. Went up there to do a Washington game to meet with Tyrone Willingham. And I got to meet him on the way out to a game.
Yeah.
Sharp guy. You can tell a lot by a guy tell a lot from a coach by the way he walks. This guy walks with a purpose.
Okay.
He's not just wasting time. And all his DBs, they play the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, really a disciplined approach.
Yeah.
I thought that was more of Tyrone Willingham. Turns out it's really him.
Hmm.
And that's why he hired him. So it's good to see him being talked about as a potential head coaching candidate.
Yeah.
But it was a brief meeting, about 15 minutes, but I was really, really impressed.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, looking him up and researching him a little bit, Ron Rivera, going back a couple years, he made him his assistant head coach,
mm-hmm.
probably for a reason. And he's sort of been considered the, defensive coordinator in waiting, if you will, with mm-hmm. Sean McDermott reportedly getting all these interviews, you know, and he's been going out and it looked like he might get a head coaching job last year. It didn't happen. But so one of the things that Rivera said that I read, I think it was the Charlotte Observer story. So he was talking about how, you know, like, I don't even know if I really want to do this interview because, like, I think this man is going to be a really good head coach in this league and he's going to be a good defensive coordinator first. And so so these under-the-radar names, sometimes you think about guys like a Mike Tomlin, like a Mike McCarthy. You know, these guys were really kind of under the radar and then they go on and they become very successful even though they're not the hot name, so to speak, you know?
That's what I was going to say. When you – well, everybody – be upset and up in arms if they haven't heard too much about the Rams' new head coach.
Yes.
Did you go back and read some of the stuff about Mike McCarthy when he was hired and how the Green Bay Packers fans felt about him?
Oh, yeah.
And now how do they feel about him?
They probably feel pretty good.
Base your decision off of that.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, hold on to your seatbelts a little bit, at least in Miles and I's position for sure, the feedback that will come out of a maybe lower name, but that's okay. If you believe in them, if the organization believes in them, I completely agree. But definitely hold on to your seatbelt because the ride is definitely not over.
As long as you clock W's in September.
Thank you.
Everyone's going to be happy.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the most important thing. And it's not just the W's in September, but you got to keep it going.
Through December.
Yeah, through December and through January and into February eventually.
Yeah, we did the September W thing, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was 3-1 in September.
We were rolling.
Yeah.
Wasn't that nice? Shoot. Remember when back in the day when they were 3-1? You know, you come off the plane from Arizona. It was a nice 50-minute plane flight.
Right. Yeah.
Let's go back to that. It was like my birthday weekend.
Sun
that was fun.
Shined a little brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Food tasted
a little
better.
Greener, everything. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Everything was good. So that's what the Rams are trying to get back to, and they're trying to sustain that.
You caught me in just a little memory lane. I was just here dozing off.
Yeah. It was a nice time, wasn't it? What other names have intrigued you guys that have been connected to the Rams?
The Anthony Lynn. That name popped up because I played against him when he was in San Francisco and I believe Denver, special teams guy. And this is how we used to do it way back when. The whole team sits for special teams meetings. So the one thing that our special teams coaches kept talking about when we played the 49ers was this guy.
Okay.
And that means a lot to me, especially when a team's coach mentions your name. That means you know how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that his name has come up again, that's a guy I'd like. Now, as far as being a head coach running the entire ship, I'm not sure. But when that name comes up, the discipline part definitely comes through with an Anthony Lynn.
Well, I was going to bring up the fact that I know we can't talk about college coaches too much about what they could bring to the table, but do you think a college coach would be in over his head taking over the L.A. Rams job?
Wow. I did that once with Rich Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was below 500.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Rose Bowl in 1994. He was coach of the year, by far his best year as a head coach at Oregon, I believe, and then the Rams hired him.
Right.
To be our coach. Then we moved to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing. And
we
fired him 2 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
Pre-Vermeil. And so what you're saying is
maybe
a head coach can be in over his head.
I'm just – that was my experience.
Yeah.
I'm
going to infer that the college head coach thing did not work out too well.
I'll just put the grizzled veteran, Leslie O'Neal, a man of 120 career sacks already in the back of the room. and a college head coach in the front. Who do you think the players listen to?
Well, but okay, but isn't that just... I don't think that it just has to do with a college head coach, right? I think it has to do with the individual. Because if, say, David Shaw, right? David Shaw has been an NFL assistant. There are people that speak very, very highly of him. I listened to the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast with Peter King. He was on there. I thought he was excellent. I think, you know, if the Rams could pry him away from Stanford, which I don't think that they will be able to do, I don't think anybody's going to be able to do, I think he would be an excellent NFL head coach. So I think I haven't sat in the room, so I guess take that with like a billion grains of salt. But I feel like if it's the right guy, it could work.
And the other one I want to point out to you, just talking when you said what names have been getting thrown out there, even though he said it over and over and over again that he's staying in New Orleans, Sean Payton has been thrown around a lot. What do you think he would bring to the Rams?
Is he going
to
bring Breeze with him?
No,
we've got Jared Goff here, man.
Damn. Oh, yeah. Just saying. So,
yeah.
You know?
That's part of it. But he's still core. He's developed a really good offensive system there. So
no doubt.
That's one of these tough things, you know.
Are you sure anybody but Breeze can run it?
No, I don't know. I don't know. You know?
I've never seen that offense without him, so I don't know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, okay. So here's something else that's kind of funny. So I just brought up David Shaw, right?
Yeah.
So like Tuesday night into Wednesday, literally had a dream that the Rams hired David Shaw.
Bring up your dream.
Yeah. It was really weird. And he was a nice dude. Like, he would come in the studio, like Danny Fisher up front. He'd like do stuff on the board, Fisher like diagram plays. Oh my goodness. Edit that. Oh no. It would be Shaw up front or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, man. Oh, we can keep going. That's funny.
What offense does he bring with him?
I don't know.
Does he bring the same two-back offense?
Probably not. Oh. Because we don't really run two-back sets in the NFL anymore.
Well, yeah. Most don't.
Most
some
don't.
Do.
Some do, and do it successfully. But my point was that, like, I don't know, that was just it was a funny dream.
No, I've heard that before about David Shaw, and I played for his dad, Willie Shaw.
Really?
In St. Louis. Great guy. I've known David for years. What makes you think he'd be a great head coach?
Because
he has success at Stanford?
No, it was more the attitude that he seems to... I mean, part of it, yes, is the success at Stanford. And I think anytime you're talking about a college head coach, you have to sort of do the thing where it's like what you were just saying. Like, okay, are they going to listen to the grizzled veteran or are they going to listen to the college coach? And I think because he has been in the NFL, I think he has a better handle of probably how to read an NFL room.
Yeah.
You know, a better read how to handle the team meeting room, handle the team in general. And so what he was saying on that podcast was that when you're in college, you know, you are basically taking care of somebody's hugest, most important possession, you know, their child. And when you're in the NFL, you're just paying somebody to do a job, you know? Like, you do this job or I'm cutting you. It's not the teaching necessarily aspect of it. It's we have to do everything to win.
But I think the other side of that as well is when you're talking about a college coach and if he could come into the NFL, look at the Rams team. How young is the Rams?
Really young.
So very he's young. Very used to dealing with 18 to 21, 22-year-old people.
Yeah.
Which fills up the Rams roster.
Might be good. Might be great for Jared Goff.
Might be.
Yeah.
Can he get through to people that are that age?
Might be good for Rob Havenstein.
Perhaps, yeah.
Could be good for Greg Robinson.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. He's coming in from college. You look at the Rams roster. We struggled to come up with somebody that was 30 years old earlier in the show. Same kind of idea.
Yeah. So maybe that's, you know, one of these things where I think the most important aspect of it, though, is just getting the right person. You know, and whether that's some of these guys that they've interviewed, be it, you know, a Sean McVay, even though he's 30, you know, a Kyle Shanahan, Patricia McDaniels, Wilkes, all these different guys. Harold Goodwin actually is an interesting name that I think may be more of a contender than people are maybe giving him credit for. And I'm not saying that from inside information. I think he's got a good resume. And I think he can really bring some things to the table that would be good for the Rams.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, this side of the business, and just going all the way back to one of the first names that was thrown out there when Jeff Fisher was fired. If you're John Gruden, would you leave television?
No.
I mean, you've got the number one job in football.
Yeah. I wouldn't. If it were me, I wouldn't.
I don't think I would. I think you hung it up already.
You've got a ring.
Yeah.
You won the championship. What more is there to accomplish?
You know what's better than one ring?
Two.
But I think you have the ability of ruining your name almost.
How? How can you ruin your name?
If what if it doesn't go well?
Then you go back to the booth.
Yeah.
It's like Michael Jordan coming back and playing again, though, right?
He didn't ruin his legacy. I'm still buying his shoes.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just, and what's funny now is that, you know, like, people don't, I mean, people my age or your age, Danny, like, how much do we really remember Jordan from the Bulls, right? Like, people know him because of shoes and, like, kind of those couple of seasons for the Wizards anyway. But that doesn't mean that you don't know Jordan's the GOAT, right? Like, everybody knows that Jordan's the GOAT.
Well, I would assume, I think we talked about this, that John Gruden got into football to be one of the greatest coaches ever.
Sure.
Right? To put his name in that same group. Now, when you talk about greatest coaches ever, when does his name come up now?
Wouldn't.
I know there's only
everybody thinks that he was a very good football coach, but I'm like, if you're saying greatest coaches of all time, I don't think I'm being like a jerk by saying I don't know that he would be up there.
Right.
I mean, if you ask fan opinion, it's funny. I put a random Twitter question out there and asked the fans who they would want. And I actually took like a tally because I was very curious to know who would pop up the top of that list. And Shanahan and Peyton led that list, but very close behind was Gruden.
See, he's always going to be out there. Yeah, he's always going to be out there. And the one thing that the knock is that he won that Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I might want to correct that. If it matters.
Yeah.
It might not.
It might not.
Like John Madden back in the day.
Yeah.
When you hear the name Madden, you think video game. You forget that this guy was actually on the sideline at one point. So maybe in today's NFL, which is all wide open passing, John Gruden and his offense would love to come back and compete at this level.
Yeah.
The thing about Harbaugh coming back to the NFL, I know there's only one thing you can't do in college. You can't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can't do in college. It's going to drive every one of those guys, even Nick Saban, at some point, to try his hand at the NFL again.
You know, Saban, I think the ship has sailed, and I think it's just my opinion, but I think he's realized that the one he's chasing is Bear Bryant and not necessarily the NFL, you know, because he can be the greatest college coach of all time. I have a hard time thinking that Saban is going to come in and win a Super Bowl with the way that everything went down with the Dolphins in particular. You know, I have a hard time believing that.
It's going to be rough to run the same system.
Right.
I bet Alabama.
You cannot recruit people in the NFL to just beat the living snot out of everybody.
The same way anymore, right?
Exactly. That's another point. Hey, so let's take a couple of Twitter questions, because usually I throw out,
God, I know
you hate it, but too bad. If you don't want to answer them, Danny and I will, but I'm pretty sure you'll want to chime in because you like talking. So,
make sure they're the good ones.
Yeah. Okay. No, I do. But I threw out, like, you know, hey, ask us some questions. And usually
does it
have
a real
don't.
Name or some kind of Twitter handle?
It's kind of some just kind of Twitter handles. Right. But yeah, usually we don't get to the Twitter questions, but today we will. So this one, first one's from @RagingRamFan, and it's a good one. Do any stop.
Go ahead.
Stop insulting the people.
I'm not insulting.
You are.
That's not an insult. Go ahead.
Stop it. All right. Goodness. @RagingRamsFan asks, do any of the current Rams assistant coaches have a chance at being retained, and how important is this in player development?
Whew, I think this is a good question.
I'm interested
to know your answer on this one, but I mean, just looking at Fossil, I don't think you get a better special teams coach in the league, and I think unless whoever comes in as head coach, unless his guy just happens to be a special teams coordinator, I think Fossil has a really good shot of staying.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Same mindset. There's two rooms I don't want to upset. Number one is the special teams room.
Right.
I.e. Johnny Hecker.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best punter in the league. I'd like to keep that going. But I think Bones Fossil, his resume speaks for itself. But I would like to keep that going if I could. The other room is the D-line room.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep 99 happy.
Yes.
I don't want anyone or anything to change his career path, where he's headed right now. So
no, I agree.
And that does happen with new coaches. They always want to put their new imprint, and they want to take away something you do best or make you do something you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
If I could keep the D-line coach and the special teams coach, I'd be very happy.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that has come up, and I agree with you too, D-Far, those two coaches in particular. But one thing that came up from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network today was that, you know, some of the Rams' defensive coaches are kind of hanging around thinking that maybe if the Rams hire an offensive coach, then some of those defensive staff guys might be retained. So that's one of the things that is out there on the report. Hey, quick sidebar, since we brought up Fossil, how impressed were you guys at the job he did as interim head coach?
Man, I guess. That's tough to go from working for a guy to seeing that guy get fired, and then you become the guy.
Yeah.
It's tough. And then you have to go to Seattle in a short week.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have got a victory out of it at some point, but from what he had to do and the job he was handed, I think he did a great job.
I completely agree, and I think when you look at the type of person Bones is, and you've been able to see this, he gets emotional in press conferences. Yeah. He's an emotional guy.
Yeah.
He's a motivating guy. But on top of all of that, I know he feels like, you know, those cliche things, my daughters were born on the practice field around Jeff Fisher. Like, that's something that actually sinks into him day by day. So I know that walking into that situation, walking into that press conference the day Coach Fisher got fired, excuse me, and walk in and be the interim head coach and be able to take command of the room and really say, look, I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change things because we've got X amount of games left, but I'm going to do my best to motivate the team. Even when it was after that San Francisco game, when everybody felt like they got punched in the stomach, there's one more to go. And he's still saying there's going to be a way that he's going to try and motivate this team. That's a guy that's not going
to
quit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Danny, before we move on, I gotta go back to this because you just said that his daughters were born on the practice field.
No, but I will say, I will say though, fun fact for you.
I would remember that.
Listen to this. Fun fact.
Did the OBGYN come out onto the field?
No, however, his second daughter was born the first day of training camp. Fossil showed up to training camp.
Yeah.
Coach Fisher walked up to him and said, excuse me, why are you here?
Yeah.
He was like, it's training camp, coach. He was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Your daughter's being
That's one thing I did always respect about Jeff Fisher is that when something would happen, he'd always say, that's more important than what we're doing, you know? And I did always respect that. So next Twitter question from Roman A. Flores at RoRam767. And we're sticking with Fossil. He said, I like how Fossil said chemistry needs to improve from top to bottom in order for the Rams to get better. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts? ?
Chemistry. Well, that's the one thing I can take away from your lack of production or lack of scoring on offense. Got to be chemistry.
Yeah.
We talked about this. When you start seeing September, August mistakes in December, you don't have much chemistry on offense. So at least on that side of the ball, I can say, continuity, they did not gel. However you want to say it, the chemistry wasn't there offensively. Mm-hmm.
I think that you could kind of say that just by watching how it all continuously unfolded. Because I think at some point, when things hit the fan, you can do one of two things. You can either come together or you can go apart.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they went apart, but different philosophies. Everybody's got some sort of ego in this league. How can you not, right?
For sure.
So different egos, different mindsets, different philosophies banging against each other. To not have touchdowns, I think that there had to have been something going on. I don't know what it is.
Right.
And one thing, I have to say this. I never saw anybody pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm. Me either.
Even when
which is why I'm sitting here telling you, I don't know what was going on.
Right.
Because I've literally got front row seat, as do you.
Yeah.
For us to sit here and be like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
It
shows that they weren't pointing people out or yelling at each other.
Exactly. And that's what Fossil was talking about, too. You know, it was just kind of this. He said this at his end of the season press conference back on Monday. It's like, you know, it's not that everybody was pointing fingers. It's just that for whatever reason, sometimes it just we may not have been pulling all in the same direction. And I think that's the biggest thing he was trying to talk about. You know, whoever the next head coach is has got to be able to set up the Rams for success and set up the Rams to all be pulling in the same direction. I think that's what he means by chemistry. And I thought that was a really good point from him.
You know, the failures, the teams that didn't win, the teams that were on that did not win. I can remember several voices trying to get us going in the right direction. And it's odd. When we did win, I can only remember one. It was all real. it's odd how that happens, right? When everybody's on the same page, we're all saying the same stuff. But when we weren't winning, even after the Super Bowl, when the team failed to qualify for a Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, there was more than one voice on the football team. But when you're winning, it's always just one guy.
Winning is the best perfume there is, isn't it?
It's great deodorant. Covers up a lot of stink.
Oh, it sure certainly does. All right, so let's before we get out of here, let's kind of talk about some of these playoff matchups this weekend.
Shoot, go ahead.
I love the NFL playoffs. So first one up is Raiders Texans Saturday 1:35 Pacific, which is a little early. This is another thing I'm going to have to now adjust.
Who's taking
to.
The Texans? Anybody?
I was going to say.
Who's taking
like,
the
we're,
Texans?
We're sitting here in LA. I feel like. Yeah. Everybody around here is screaming Oakland.
Okay, but so this is a good conversation. I mean, Connor Cook is going to start for the Raiders instead of Derek Carr, who's one of my favorite young quarterbacks to watch in this league. I'm really sad that
he has
his broken leg. But between Connor Cook and Brock Osweiler, what quarterback do you think is better?
I'm taking the Raiders.
I'm still taking the Raiders.
I'm taking the high road there. Yeah, the only difference is money.
No, but you know what? But who's on the other side? You brought up Romeo Crennel earlier. Romeo Crennel coordinated the number one total defensive offense. Excuse me. He coordinated the number one total defense in the league.
Okay. What?
I don't know what the hell that was. That was terrible. That was a 4-12 comment.
I'm still taking the Raiders. If Derek Carr were healthy, I might put them in the Super Bowl already.
I might too, yeah.
But that team is more than just a quarterback.
Yeah, it
great
is.
Line.
Great line.
Good running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Great receivers.
Yeah.
And they can get after you defensively.
Okay.
So I'm taking the Raiders.
All right, Danny, you got the Raiders?
Raiders.
All right, I'm taking the Texans. So we'll
look
come
at
back.
You. Yeah, okay, go
I'm
ahead.
Doing it. I believe in Romeo Crennel. I don't really believe in Brock Osweiler, but I believe defense will win that
Browns
one.
Fan,
Lions. On. No, this has nothing to do Browns with the Browns. Fan, I'm going off what has happened this season.
Okay.
I think Clowney's going to get in Connor Cook's kitchen.
Okay.
I watched a lot of Connor Cook at Michigan State. He's another Cleveland guy.
Right.
But I like for some odd reason.
If
I
it turns into
Michigan
a shootout.
State.
Then I might be worried.
I don't think that game is going to turn into a shootout. All right, so let's talk Lions Seahawks.
That's an easy one to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, we saw them both. We saw the Lions once, the Seahawks twice.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even without Earl Thomas.
I hate copying you because I don't want to. Next time I'm answering first.
All right.
But I would pick the Seahawks as well. Just be watching them. It hurts my heart to do that just because we're in the same division as them. But at the same time, do you root on your own division? I don't know. But I would pick the Seahawks.
I might pick the Lions.
Why?
Because they've got Matt Stafford has played better than people think.
He has.
He really, really has. And even though that defense is not...
I'm sorry. Go. Were you at our game in Detroit?
Yeah.
All right. That's fair.
Oh,
Case Keenum did set a franchise record with 20 straight completions. But
wow, that did happen.
That did happen, that game. Okay, sidebar. That game is such a weird game because we immediately got on the plane.
Maybe that's why I'm...
Yes.
Maybe
you know?
That's why I'm...
It's
the
like
Seahawks
the forgotten
bandwagon
game.
For this one.
But you mentioned no Earl Thomas.
Where's the game?
The game is in Seattle.
End of story.
I know.
There you go.
I know. But I think it's going to be a better game than you guys are just like, ugh.
No. I don't think it's going to be like the Seahawks are just going to wipe the floor with them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Seahawks to win because you're playing up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Look, didn't they set a record for, the most people to have rush attempts in one season?
Ooh,
the Seahawks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep slamming the ball at you with Russell Wilson. So, and the benefit of crowd noise is going to help them defensively.
Loud there.
Yeah.
And
if
the Lions
have to throw,
are down.
Yeah.
The Lions are down. They kind of got rocked by Aaron Rodgers. But I'm pulling for the Lions, but I guess you're right. I got to pick the Seahawks.
Go ahead.
All right, fine. Dolphins-Steelers, Sunday.
Steelers.
There you go. Confidence?
Get that pick in, Danny.
Confidence, and only because I've happened to catch a few of their games. Mike Munchak's daughter is one of my best friends,
yeah,
so I have no choice but to watch a lot of Steelers games. And I've watched them come from behind and win.
Yeah.
I've watched them go through some trials and still win.
That's the
Steelers,
man.
That's why.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Steelers, too. I was just having fun. If Ryan Tannehill were healthy, I may actually swing it the other
that
way.
Too.
Yeah.
Matt Moore is going to be your starter. Who's on the other side?
By the way, I'm a Beaver fan,
yeah.
an Oregon State Beaver fan,
yeah,
and Matt
go.
Moore is starting. And I'm still going with the Steelers.
Right. Who's the other quarterback?
Ben Roethlisberger.
There's no way in hell I'm not picking the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. The Steelers are the obvious pick here. I think the Steelers are really the team that can go to New England, beat New England, and go to the Super Bowl.
Yes, I agree.
Because they know how to do it. The Steelers are a program, right? Mike Tomlin has done an unbelievable job there. He is not just a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job of coaching them up, and I like the Steelers.
Steelers, besides the Cowboys, are the only other team that's not going to be intimidated by Super Bowl banners.
Right.
Yeah. They've got their own.
Yeah.
So does Dallas.
All right.
Yeah.
So last game of the weekend would be Giants-Packers, Sunday, 1:40 Pacific.
Okay. DeMarco, you can take this
I'm
one
taking
first.
The Packers, man.
Yeah?
Look, the Rams should have beaten the Giants in London.
This is true.
That's a fair
they
statement.
They should have beaten the
true.
Giants in London.
This is true.
The Giants have played very well on defense.
Extremely well.
Extremely well on defense.
Mentioned it earlier. They're the second-ranked scoring defense in the league.
But
only with 17-ish points per game.
We're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to ever go against Aaron Rodgers.
Me too.
even though Eli Manning's got two Super Bowl rings,
yeah,
we're still talking about one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. I'm taking the Packers.
Miles, what are you taking?
Oh, Danny, you're going.
No, I'm curious to know if you're going to take New York, because if you are, yeah. I want to hear your reasoning behind it, because then I want to see which one of you sort of talked me into it, because I can't.
It's sort of like DeMarco said. It's really, really, really hard for me to pick against Aaron Rodgers, especially the way he's been playing in these last few weeks. I mean, he is lighting up the
people.
The joint.
Oh, yeah.
He's killing it.
He's so good. I mean, and I always say this about Aaron Rodgers. Like, people talk about Tom Brady. Oh, Tom Brady's the GOAT. Tom Brady's this. Tom Brady's that. I love Tom Brady. I do. But Aaron Rodgers makes throws that I have never seen anybody else make. I remember there was one time, and I don't remember when this play was or who they were playing, but he rolled out to his right. He's on the run. He fires a strike. It's maybe 20, 25 yards to his receiver in the corner of the end zone, like the teeny tiniest window. And then receiver keeps both his feet in and falls out of bounds. It was sort of like the catch with Holmes. San Antonio with Pittsburgh, except it was in the front of the end zone instead of the back. I don't remember when I saw this, but I was like, I've never seen anybody else make a throw like that. So I guess I'd say all that to say I will pick the Packers.
Did it work?
It did.
Yeah.
Was Jordy Nelson shirtless on a boat this weekend with Johnny Manziel? Oh, no, that was the other guy. Yeah, that was the other guy.
No, not with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
would you have a problem with that? If you're a defensive tackle teammate?
If I got invited to the party, I'm going. Come on now.
I liked how Eli said that his only problem was that they didn't have any shirts.
Right. That was funny. Right.
That was pretty funny. All right, guys. So we've been on this for a long while. Any parting shots when it comes to this thing of coaching search?
Hate the fact that we're here.
Yeah.
I would like to be in that playoff talk we just had there, but it is what it is. So let's just all hope for the best possible candidate to become the next Rams head coach.
Danny, what you got?
I completely agree with that. You know, I mean, we're going to do this. We're going to continue the search on the Rams.com, talk about, you know, anything and any updates that come up. We'll have Kevin Demoff again coming up here just to talk about updates. But really just don't want to sit right here in this position next year. Not so much, obviously, with a head coach, but more so losses, anything like that. Whatever can change the culture. I'm with the players when they say that. We just want to win, and I'm with them.
Yeah.
How about you, SpaceX?
SpaceX. No, I want to see the right head coach. You know, for me, it's not about the name. It's about who is going to come in and bring the right people with him so that this team can then get wins and get over the hump. And whether that is somebody in personnel, whether that's just coaches, they've got to be able to have the right people and the right support in order for this team to take the next step. No? All right. So that's all we've got for you here today on Between the Horns. Josh, again, thank you so much for getting us through those technical difficulties get this podcast back where it needed to be. For D-Far, for Danny Klepp, I'm Miles Simmons. Wherever you may be in football, we will see you next time.